Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The Wisconsin legislature begins its work in 2013 later this month. This is a budget year, so that will likely dominate discussion. The state has gone from a more than $3 billion deficit 2 years ago to a projected surplus right now. Job creation is likely to be an issue as the economy continues to grow more slowly than people would like. And with Republicans controlling the legislature and the governor's office, it will be interesting to see if Republicans and Democrats can work together on legislation. Our guests on today's show are two Democratic lawmakers from the La Crosse area, State Senator Jennifer Schilling and State Representative Jill Billings. We invited Republican Senator Dale Schultz of Richland Center and Republican Representative Lee Nearson of Westby to be on the program, but they were unable to make it. Looking back on 2012 and looking forward to 2013, do you predict many changes within the legislature? And obviously, we'll dive into a lot of the details throughout the program.
As you look back over 2012, I tell people, regardless of where they are in the political spectrum, that happiness is 2012 in the rearview mirror. And it was a pretty turbulent legislative session, 2 years. Wisconsin has gone through a lot. It was historic. And I think we need to get back to some stability. People want that, I think, both in the legislature and the voters, the constituents, want some stability as we look ahead to 2013. In the state Senate, the Republicans have the majority, 18-15. There's one new face or two new faces in the state Senate. And so a lot of the same policymakers are going to be returning. And I think we're going to be talking about some of those same key issues that we kind of left on the table when we adjourned in 2012. Some of those unfinished business include looking at streamlining our permitting for mining here in the state of Wisconsin, looking at venture capital, that the theme really will be jobs and turning the corner, the economic corner here in the state and strengthening our economy. But also the budget will play really a very large role in what we are talking about the first 6 months of the year, with the governor introducing the budget sometime in mid-February, and then the Finance Committee will work on it for a number of months. And hopefully the time schedule is that the legislature will then pass it by June, early July. But we'll be on the road and have hearings so citizens can have input. But really, I think job creation and the budget will really kind of be dominating the first 6 months of this floor period.
And Representative Billings, as you look back on last year and where we are now and where we will be going, is this the calm before the storm, or will this be a productive year for the legislature where both sides are happy?
Well, I'm hopeful that this is the calm after the storm. In the assembly, we have the majority of members of both parties have been there a term or less. So there's a lot of new blood, and I think that is a positive thing. We need our good institutional memory, but it's good to have some fresh blood, people with new perspectives and new ideas that have good energy that they want to bring forth. This will be the governor's election year budget, so I think he's going to be a little more, play a little more safe. He's indicated that he doesn't want to look at a lot of divisive issues, but wants to focus on jobs and the economy in this budget, infrastructure, some money for education that's tied to a performance. And so I think that with a changeover, a lot of new members, people wanting to try to work together in a more positive way, stay away from some of those divisive issues, especially in the beginning, it will be hopefully a more positive, less contentious term. I wasn't there for the budget last year because I was just elected for a year, but I'm hoping that we can. In the last budget cycle, our public listening session was taken away from Western Wisconsin. We've traditionally had listening sessions here in La Crosse, and Senator Schilling and her colleagues have sat behind the table and taken comments from the public. I was angry when that was taken away from us. So hopefully with this budget process, we'll be able to have that listening session back in La Crosse so that we'll have a good voice from Western Wisconsin.
And when you look forward to the budget, what sticks out as some of the most important issues? What will be some of the key changes or issues moving forward? Representative Billings?
The governor has expressed the things that he's interested in. When Senator Schilling and I were at Torrance Casting, he spoke to the workers there. He has indicated that he wants to focus on job creation. He promised us 250,000 jobs and is nowhere near 250,000. I think that was a very optimistic goal. And so I think he wants to work on that some more. So that will be an economic development will be a part of his concern with venture capital funding some of those small startup organizations, workforce development, so we have skilled workers to take those jobs that are available. Of course, we have to make sure that there are salaries that are living wage salaries so that people want to have those jobs. And again, education tied to performance. So there'll be some extra money for education, and then infrastructure is the other issue that he said he would focus on.
And Senator Schilling?
Well, I think the governor has painted kind of a rosy picture of our upcoming budget picture, and I think it's still incomplete that we're looking for the nonpartisan fiscal bureau to come forward with their numbers. And Governor Walker has touted the fact that the state is expected to generate an additional $1.5 billion in new revenue in the coming biennium. But I think it's important to keep in mind that the agencies have put forward $1.6 billion in new requests. And so obviously those areas are going to have to be pared down if the Republicans that they've been talking about tax cuts for businesses here in the state. You know, budgets are about priorities. They're a roadmap for the future, and certainly our public education system, which took a very deep cut in the last budget, that we need to look at restoring funding there, look at our technical schools and our university system, but also infrastructure. And our transportation budget is one that we have not had sort of a stable funding source for our transportation budget since we did away with the automatic gas indexing. And we haven't really replaced that. We are looking at possibly some general purpose revenue going into our transportation, but we have to maintain the roads that we have. The Milwaukee and southeastern Wisconsin has some infrastructure and projects that they would like included in the budget. And we also need to take a look at the new Affordable Care Act and what the health care, what those costs will be in the state of Wisconsin. And between the university system asking for additional money, Department of Health Services, corrections, we have to weigh all of that and figure out how we can be most sound in our investments for job creation, for helping with services that are needed, for education of, you know, from our public schools on up to our technical schools and our university system. So we'll look to see what kind of numbers are coming in and are projected, but certainly we need to make sure that we have those priorities that people have talked to us all last campaign season on the, you know, as we're out doing, going door to door and at parades to talk about what those priorities are, that we need to make sure that we are investing in people here in the state, because that is where we will get our biggest bang for our buck here in Wisconsin.
And Governor Walker this week is touring the state talking about jobs and mining, which signals that, as you mentioned before, these are some of his top priorities this year. On the iron ore mining issue in northern Wisconsin, do you see the legislature able to find a balance between job creation? They say it could create up to 700 jobs up there, and environmental protection. And then you also have the Native American issue, too, up there.
During this last fall, we had a special committee that in the Senate that looked at the mining bill with Senator Tim Cullen. It was a bipartisan committee, and it was kind of a work group where they brought in groups from the tribes. They brought in representatives from the Mining Association, from environmental concerns, from sporting groups to take a look at that. And the Republicans have indicated that they are intent on passing a streamlining permitting bill, a mining bill that would affect the mine up in northern Wisconsin. And I think we are smart enough to pass a responsible mining law in this state that will protect our environmental concerns. And I hope that my colleagues in the Senate will not just do mining 2.0 and do a reboot or a redo of the bill that passed in the Assembly last session that really was irresponsible. And it was a political document. It was not a responsible or a practical mining bill. That we can take a look at having a definitive time frame for the DNR to issue a permit, and we've seen it vary from, you know, 520 days to 420 days, or it's whatever that time period is, but also allowing for what we are calling off ramps, so that if the Corps of Engineers or another federal agency says, wait, we need a timeout to take a look at this, we need more data, or the tribes have a concern, that kind of stops the clock right there. It doesn't count against the mining company and that permitting. So we need to make sure that we are doing things that FEMA approves, that we cannot carve out a mining industry from floodplain mitigation, which was one of the concerns that we here in western Wisconsin had on that bill last session. You know, we need to be careful that this does not end up in court, because there are a lot of extenuating circumstances outside of the control of the Wisconsin legislature that could put the brakes on this very quickly. And I don't want people to be misled that the minute the governor signs this bill that we're going to have 900 jobs in northern Wisconsin. But this could take years to permit this, to site it, and those jobs will come at some point. But it's not going to be kind of that silver bullet that the state is looking for job creation. But I think that there is a way to do it in a responsible way, but we need to really have people around the table who are looking at this through the lens of long-term job, but also environmental protections in our state.
And will the iron or the mining bill, will that just be pertaining to iron ore mining, or will that branch out into silica sand mining, which is more pertinent here in western Wisconsin?
The bill that had been looked at this last session really was on iron ore mining and permitting for that. Certainly, we have seen a boom in the frack sand mining here, especially in western Wisconsin. I think there'll be other legislation that will take a look at that. And I know that Senator Vinehout has looked at some of that and introduced it. But when we talk about kind of the mining bill, that is really looking at the mining proposed mine up in northern Wisconsin. It is not looking at the sand mining operations that also are relatively new in the last 2 to 3 years here in western Wisconsin.
Representative Billings, did you want to add anything?
My first month in the assembly, the assembly version of the mining bill came in front of us, and it was a very difficult issue for the public, especially in northern Wisconsin. And I got a taste of the public demonstrations with people who were there, were very upset, felt like they weren't heard. The tribes were there, felt like they weren't consulted, and they weren't. So I am appreciative of Senator Cullen for his work this summer, bringing people to the table, taking testimony to create a better bill that will start in the Senate. And I hope that we'll address all the concerns that Senator Schilling talked about and be able to take time and slow down this effort that was kind of tried to push through in a too quick of a manner last year. This is a finite resource, and there's no reason why we can't make sure that the process is done well, taking into concern environmental effects, the concerns of the tribes with water and their wild rice fields, to take into effect FEMA and flooding, and also those jobs and where are they going to come from, and make sure we do it right.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guests today are Representative Jill Billings and State Senator Jennifer Schilling, both Democrats from La Crosse. We're talking about the upcoming legislative session. How is it that the legislature is going to create jobs? I know there are different investment programs. Senator Schilling, you mentioned working with technical colleges. How is Governor Walker going to get to his 250,000 job benchmark? Representative Billings?
There's a lot of uncertainty right now with the fiscal cliff and what's happening on the federal level and how that's going to affect states and businesses and the Affordable Care Act and insurance and the exchanges that are set up and how that's going to affect a business. So I think once we can create some surety and get some of those issues settled, I think that will help. So it's not just the state that does this alone. It's a mix of federal, state, and of course a business that creates a job. I know that the Wisconsin Taxpayer Alliance has said your best bang for your buck if you are investing in businesses are those small startup businesses. So someone who has a good idea, who has some skin in the game, but needs a little help to get there. And I think that's a good investment for the state, and you never know when one of those businesses is gonna hit. Last summer, I was able to talk to the president of Trek Bikes, located in Wisconsin, at his international expo in Madison, and also a young man from the university who's starting Wyatt Bikes out at the business incubator here in La Crosse. And it's exciting to see his award-winning small business plan that he created with the help of the Small Business Development Center at the university and what he could possibly do with that business. And I think that's where the job creation is going to occur, in those small startups that can take off.
So do you see the state providing more opportunities for startups?
I think that's a direction that we absolutely should go in, yes.
And Senator Schilling, how does the legislature create more jobs? Do you see it as these small businesses being the wave of the future?
We need to look at helping our small business and our entrepreneurs who need some of that seed capital to get started. But we also need to recognize that we have a skills gap in this state, and we need to narrow the skills gap and working with our technical schools and the university system with identifying sort of, you know, getting people into that pipeline, into the technical schools, getting those programs available that some already have waiting lists to get into some of those high demand jobs. If it's in welding or advanced manufacturing and healthcare, and then making sure that we are kind of pairing up and have that alignment with our employers that right now that looking to hire of what they need with potential employees. And right now in the Department of Workforce Development on their website, there's approximately 44,000 jobs that are being advertised here in the state of Wisconsin, but we don't just have that right skills that are needed. So we need to be looking at that and working with our technical schools and looking to promote those partnerships with the public sector and the private sector to get those kind of realigned. The venture capital is one as well. And looking at when we are doing some incentives, if it's, you know, tax incentives, it needs to be immediate and it needs to have some proven results and making sure that we are tying job creation to those incentives that businesses are utilizing in the state.
And going back to the skills gap issue, technical colleges took a pretty heavy hit in the last budget. Is there any sense that that money will be coming back to them, or will the money allotted to them sort of be at the same level as it was last time around?
Well, I'm honored to be reappointed onto the Finance Committee, and we'll be looking at the budget. And right now, in the month of November and December, I've had a lot of meetings in my office with both agencies and others that are asking for looking at what their budget wish list
sure.
is.
Everyone
and having that money restored or having a little bit, you know, having it restored and then a little bit plus to kind of make up for being stagnant over the last 6 to 8 or 10 years in some cases with some of these groups' budgets. So the technical schools are certainly looking at how they can be streamlined, how they can be efficient, but also they have to be nimble. And I think that that's one of the pluses that the technical schools have. The university system as well is looking with their flexible degree online and looking to see how we can continue kind of that lifelong learning philosophy here in the state with people who maybe have a couple years of school under their belt and credit, but not enough to have a degree and kind of helping them along that. I am hopeful that we will not see those kind of deep, deep cuts that we had saw to technical schools and the university system and K-12 all over again, that I think people have really made the case that they have tightened their belt more than other groups have, and we, of course, need to be responsible and good stewards of the taxpayer money. They have done that, but we also have to recognize that there is higher demand with people unemployed to get into some of these classes and training and to help them out and as they partner with the private sector here in the state.
And is there more that businesses can do with the skills gap? I mean, should they be investing more into the colleges or the communities, or are they just sort of at a standstill?
No, I think there certainly is a dialogue with businesses here in the state, and I've seen it as I've toured some different technical schools around Wisconsin and with the university system, looking at some of the apprenticeship opportunities, some of the skilled trade opportunities to get people, even in high school and middle school, exposed to some new job opportunities and getting them kind of on that thought of career pathways, even at a younger age. So I certainly think that businesses want to partner and help out, you know, where they can with exposure to jobs and opportunities. But I'm also seeing some of the manufacturers that they're donating some of the equipment that they are in their plant using, and they are donating it to the technical schools or helping purchase it so that those students have real life training on the shop floor when they go out and they graduate and got their degree from a tech school or something, that they've already been working on what is expected of them as they go out and they work for Caterpillar or for Case or, you know, some other manufacturer here in the state.
And with K-12 funding, I remember hearing some talk last year about changes to the school funding formula. Do you predict any of that or any other sort of changes to K-12 education this next year? Representative Billings?
DPI, Director of Public Instruction, Tony Evers has developed a plan for funding our schools that I know he's been in conversation with Governor Walker on. And so I think that we... it's not sustainable the way we've been funding our public education. And I think we absolutely have to take a look at funding in different and better ways.
How would these changes benefit schools in La Crosse, and or could they affect them negatively?
I don't know. Actually, I think that's no
yet
final.
To be determined, or?
Yeah, without a final decision between the two people who are looking at it right now, I wouldn't want to comment on how it would specifically affect La Crosse. But we have taken a cut under the governor's last budget, and as have most schools in Wisconsin. And so we absolutely have to fund our schools. And the governor sees with this budget that we should. So hopefully we'll have more funding for schools. That is something that he has listed as a priority. But, it will be tied to results. So it's going to be a different situation.
Did you want to add in anything, Senator Schilling?
Well, I think if the state should return to the commitment of 2/3 funding of our schools, that we have backed away from that, and that adds added pressure onto our local school boards and property owners around the state, property taxpayers. We need to look at the issue of declining enrollment. We need to look at transportation costs. We need to look at aging school buildings, especially in our rural school districts. And as we look at kind of that formula, I know that one of the Senator Olson, who has been the chair of the Education Committee, has indicated he would like to increase the per pupil spending by $200 per pupil here in the state.
And some would come from schools across the state.
And that would be kind of a formula change across the state. Some of that money would come from increased spending. Some of it would come from allowing districts to increase their tax levy. So that would bring millions back to schools across the state if we could bump up that per pupil spending formula. That's kind of the conundrum that we've had for the 12 years I've served in the legislature, that we have not been able to get our arms around really a fair school funding formula here in the state. We clearly have winners and losers. And as you look at the district that you represent, if you're in northern Wisconsin or if you're in Dane County or western Wisconsin, a rural area or an urban area, you look to see how your own schools fare. And if you are in one of those districts where your schools are doing well, it's tough to go back and say, you know what, we need to change the formula so we are losing money so other parts of the state can have some additional money. But I think that Superintendent Evers has put together a sound plan. We'll see if the money is there to in the budget to deal with that. But he really would like to see that fair funding formula look at protecting the quality of our schools, protecting taxpayers, and really providing greater transparency by assuring that the school aid formula goes directly to the schools. So that's not just one thing in the budget we can do, but I think certainly investing in our schools, looking at some of the reforms in the funding formula would be helpful. But I'm also troubled with the idea that I've heard with Republicans wanting to expand the voucher school system.
And I've even read that some are suggesting they'd take money out of the public school system and put it more towards the voucher
school and that's system. That's part of the problem is just the transparency, some of the testing that is not required the same way in the voucher schools than our public schools. And right now, when we expanded the voucher school system, it used to just be the Milwaukee public school system. In the last session, we expanded to Milwaukee County, and now I think the Racine School District also. And they're looking at other communities, other school districts that would be eligible. And for me, a strong advocate of public education, that is troubling for me to be looking at siphoning off public taxpayer money to these private voucher schools that do not have the same kind of accountability and transparency and expectations that our public schools have.
Is there a future for voucher schools in the La Crosse area? Any sense of that at all at this point in time?
In the last session, the way that it was worded, communities, if they would have been, they could have been eligible under a certain formula to expand into the voucher program. And the way that it has been written right now in state statutes, it's very tight, it's very narrow. And I think specifically not that I'm a fan of the voucher schools, but if we're going to expand it, it needs to be very, very narrow. I would like to see, again, that transparency, that accountability, those standards of testing and things that are required. But they have not proven to better test scores when they have measured up against other public school data. So again, I think it's a really slippery slope that we continue to go down as we have that talk about expanding voucher schools, because that is taxpayer money that is coming out of our public school support.
Representative Billings?
There is, I saw in the last year, there is a will among many in Madison to expand voucher schools. It was, we were able to contain it to just that southeastern part of the state. But there is definitely a movement among many who want to expand that. And I think that would be a huge mistake. We can't afford a bifurcated system like that.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guests today are State Senator Jennifer Schilling and State Representative Jill Billings. Both are Democrats from La Crosse. We're talking about the upcoming legislative session. I'm assuming that tax reform is on the horizon this year. Do you see it aimed more at businesses, or will there be tax reform for families or individuals?
What the governor has stated is that he's looking at income tax cuts because that would benefit business. The way businesses are set up in Wisconsin, most businesses would benefit more from an income tax cut than a corporate tax cut. I think that certainly the middle class has taken more than their share of the burden of taxing. So if there isn't money for an income tax cut, I would like to see it go to middle class who's shared more than their burden.
And Senator Schilling?
Speaker Voss had a committee that looked at income tax reform here in the state, and he doesn't ever do anything just for the practice of it. So I'm sure some of the recommendations would find them their way into legislation. But there has been some talk, if it's not like the an income tax cut, it's looking at the tax rates that the wealthy pay here in the state of Wisconsin. But we also have to recognize that we have to weigh that against the budget and the investment that we need to make into our education system, into our healthcare system. And, one of my colleagues said, I don't know if suddenly we're giving people these, tax breaks, but yet we are underfunding our technical schools and our universities and our schools, if that really has accomplished what we want to do. So it is kind of that tightrope that we need to walk and to kind of weigh those priorities about what that budget picture looks like as it comes into focus with some of those numbers that we'll be receiving soon, but also weighing that against what those tax cuts would mean to the big picture here in Wisconsin.
The healthcare exchanges that will be now set up by the federal government here in Wisconsin, and that allows consumers to compare costs of health insurance. When will Wisconsinites expect to see that? And also, what other issues are you looking at in Wisconsin regarding the Affordable Care Act in the upcoming year? Representative Billings?
So Governor Walker has decided not to set up our own individual healthcare exchanges that are tailored toward the state of Wisconsin, which I think is unfortunate. But so we'll fall under the federal exchanges at this point, at least. 2014 is a year that we'll be working toward or that they'll take effect. So this year we'll be working toward that. And by October, I think that we'll have some sort of a statement of the exchanges, and we'll have a more definite idea by October of how things will go into effect for 2014. There is also the expansion of Medicaid, which is an issue that Secretary Smith and Governor Walker they indicated they have problems with expansion. The problem is if there is no expansion, then poor adults without dependents will be left without insurance coverage from Medicaid. There are a few issues with the Affordable Care Act. I have been disappointed that Governor Walker seems to have been stalling on this, saying, oh, he was going to wait until the Supreme Court made their decision. And then once they did, he said, oh, he was going to wait until after the election and then to just decide to sort of opt out and go with a federal exchange, I think, is a lost opportunity.
Senator Schilling?
The Department of Health Services has requested an additional $1.05 billion in new money, additional funding. Part of that is to deal with the increase in public health care programs utilization during the recent recession with the additional caseload in Badger Care and other things like that, with families finding themselves without health insurance. But also part of the request is that uncertainty of what that new Affordable Care Act and how that is going to impact Wisconsin with the federal exchange, what those costs will be associated with it, and what the impact will be on our Medicaid program. And that's certainly one area that is one of the fastest growing parts of our budget, is the Medicaid program. nearly one out of five people in the state of Wisconsin is eligible for it or utilizing if it's on senior care, family care, Badger care, that we need to continue to look to see how we can be more efficient in that and how we can promote some areas of health and wellness that we don't necessarily promote those areas in that population. And we are seeing it kind of in the private sector where people are seeing some of those numbers, health insurance numbers increase and what they can do with their employees in the workplace and how we can help that population that is on Medicaid be more sound user of it, a more efficient user, and looking at some of the patient-centered care pilot programs around the state and some of the medical homes that we are doing here in western Wisconsin with our two healthcare institutions, how we can implement a medical home framework within that population to help decrease costs.
And another issue that may or may not come up this legislative session is becoming a right-to-work state. Michigan is the most recent state to become a right-to-work state, which would allow employees to decide for themselves if they want to join a union. Do you see that happening here in Wisconsin? I know Governor Walker has mentioned that he would consider and almost like to work towards that goal. Do you think that'll happen, or will jobs and mining and these other issues stay the key?
I don't think it will happen here in the state. That the governor really has been talking about kind of more of a conciliatory tone when I've seen him here in the La Crosse when he's had appearances, looking at focusing on jobs and the economy and kind of giving a brushback pitch to his Republican policymakers in the Senate and the Assembly saying, listen, this is what I'm focused on. Don't bring these things to my desk because we do not need to have this divisive atmosphere in the state anymore. And I think as he talks about that, that certainly is being pretty blatant with his own party members saying, let's be disciplined. Let's keep looking at this stuff. Let's not get sidetracked on some of these social issues and these lightning rod issues. And I really don't if someone introduces it in the Assembly, I don't think it would be introduced in the Senate, but I just don't think it would get to the floor for a vote in the Assembly, knowing Speaker Voss, and I don't think in the Senate that they would be willing to take that up either.
I agree, as people are pressing the governor. In fact, he is he's working hard to convince the public, I think, that he is not interested in pursuing that at this point. And in fact, talked about Michigan, that Michigan had Indiana as a right-to-work state on a border, so maybe that went into the governor of Michigan's decision. Wisconsin doesn't have that issue, and which is more reason why he would not want to pursue right to work.
Are there any goals that the two of you have for the upcoming legislative session, Representative Billings?
For my personal work that I hope to do, I was on a summer Ledge Council committee on children and permanency placement of children in the welfare system. And it was a very ambitious workhorse committee where we came up with quite a bit of legislation after listening to people from throughout the state. In fact, Judge Gonzalez and our Corporation Counsel, Megan DeVore from La Crosse County, were able to testify in front of the committee because we do things pretty well in La Crosse County when it comes to kids and permanency placement in the child welfare system, those kids that bounce in and out of foster care. But there are things that we can do better. And they both gave advice on what we could do that's would help the system and kids in the system. So I'm hoping that I can work with my colleagues across the aisle as we have on this committee to bring forth some legislation that might tighten up things a bit to make it better for those children and also maybe a better system in the court system and better for our counties, which are already carrying such a huge burden of delivering social services, often without the funding that they need. As things tighten and we go down the line. The other thing is I was honored to be chosen as a co-chair of the newly created Constitution and Ethics Committee. Representative-elect Voss on the Republican side chose two Democrats in the Assembly to co-chair committees, and I was chosen as one. I think because of my common sense and cooperation and collaboration that I bring from western Wisconsin, I've demonstrated myself to be someone who works that way in the Assembly, and I hope that this is not just window dressing committee, that he truly wants us to work in a bipartisan fashion and that we can bring forth legislation that will work for both sides of the aisle. I've already spoken to my co-chair, Representative Kapinga, and we're excited to enter doing that work. I was also lucky enough, well, not lucky, I worked hard to try to get on the colleges and university committee. So I'm on that. I'm the ranking member of tourism, which is great because with our work trying to become a silent sports destination and working with the Outdoor Recreation Association with Minnesota and Iowa, I think it would be good to have a voice from Western Wisconsin on tourism. Workforce development, and which is an important committee. And, of course, children and family, which is something I've worked on for 8 years on the county board, is near and dear to my heart. And I feel like I've got a lot of good knowledge I've gained from La Crosse County to bring to the assembly on that committee. So I've got a full plate, but I'm really excited to start this year and be involved in committees that I feel like I can contribute and do a good job for the 95th.
And Senator Schilling, I'm assuming a busy year for you too?
Yes. Well, like I mentioned earlier, I'm pleased to be reappointed to the Finance Committee. I'm also serving on Government Operations, Public Works, and Telecommunications. And one of the issues that I am going to continue to work on is broadband expansion here in the state. We talk about infrastructure when we think about roads and bridges, but also that infrastructure of broadband and appropriate bandwidth in our rural parts of the state. And as I travel throughout Monroe, Vernon, La Crosse, and Crawford County, the hospitals, the schools, the libraries, small businesses, entrepreneurs who kind of have their cottage industries, that there are some parts of the district that still have that old dial-up for the internet, and it's frustrating that they want to have be connected in a little bit more stable and up-to-date kind of method. Also, I'm going to continue to work on the tax reciprocity with Minnesota, that continues to be one of my priorities, that that program has been suspended, and we're in talks with the Department of Revenue over in Minnesota to get that reinstituted, not unfortunately for the 2013 tax season, that time frame has kind of passed us up, but hopefully in 2014 we will have that tax reciprocity agreement back in place. And then I will also be serving on the Universities and Technical Colleges Committee, which is one that I've served on for the last 12 years in the legislature. So that's a familiar one and certainly an important one here in Western Wisconsin as we're dealing with higher education and, like I said, that skills gap and workforce development issues. So I'm looking forward to my first full four-year term in the state Senate as I continue to travel throughout the district and meet with people and listen to them about kind of their opportunities and the challenges that they have and how I can bring some of their common sense ideas to the legislature and add to the debate.
I want to thank State Senator Jennifer Schilling and State Representative Jill Billings. The La Crosse area Democrats talked about the 2013 Wisconsin legislative session. We also invited Republican State Senator Dale Schultz of Richland Center and State Representative Lee Nierison of Westby, but they couldn't make the show. Coming up next, we'll talk with Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind about this week's work to avoid the U.S. government from going off the so-called fiscal cliff. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.